Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Kevin Paul Scott is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin is a new friend. He's an internationally recognized speaker on and has talked to audiences in 100 countries. He's the author of 8 Essential Exchanges, What You Have to Give Up to Go Up. He is the co-founder of ADDO Institute and ADDO Worldwide, and he's our new friend, Kevin Paul Scott. Welcome to the show.
Jim, good to be with you this morning.
Good to have you here. So, Kevin, anybody who hasn't been in a coma for the last 30 years has been paying attention to the sometimes drama, but mostly success of a company called Apple. They first popped up on my horizon, on my radar screen, in the early 80s when people started buying Apple IIe's. And there was a whole cult of people out there who were devoted to the 2E, as I remember that was the name of it. And then they came up with this thing called a Macintosh. I never bought the 2E, but I bought the first one of the first Macintoshes in 84. And I remember the 2E people. They were all Apple computers, Kevin. But the 2E people looked at me like I was some kind of a, you know, I was a child of a lesser god or something, because I had a Macintosh. What do you think? Were you around in those days?
I do remember those days. I remember when they really kind of were on the front end of the personal computing space. And then, you know, the IBMs and a lot of the others took off. But when Steve Jobs took the helm back of Apple, they really became a game changer in the space.
And after he was gone for quite a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, they fired him. The board fired him.
That's the melodrama that was Apple back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep, and then he came back and literally changed the way we listen to music, the way we use our phones, the way we consume so many things were changed because of Steve Jobs and Apple.
You know, one of the things, Kevin, that one of our Peter Meyer wrote a book and he talks to us about a lot on the show is don't look for a solution and then go find a problem don't come up with a solution and then go try to find people who are unhappy with that. He says you're better off finding people who are unhappy with something and go make a solution for that. Jobs did the opposite of that. Jobs went against the grain. He actually came up with things that we didn't know we wanted, but when he made it, we wanted it, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. One of my favorite Steve Jobs quotes he always used to say was, if Henry Ford would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses.
Right.
And he was saying is, we've got to create something they don't even know that exists yet. And that's really what made Apple so remarkable, is that it was just things we never even knew we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. The iPod and iTunes is an example. We never knew that we could put 1,000 songs in our pocket and that we could just pick and choose the songs we wanted. We didn't have to buy a whole CD or cassette tape with all of the songs. We just picked exactly what we want.
So how much of all of that was Steve Jobs, and how much of it was a cadre of people around him that he knew how to serve? I know he wasn't as much of a listener as he was a strong commander, but how much of it was just pure Steve Jobs?
Well, first of all, there's no doubt that you don't change the world like that by yourself. There has to be a team around you. So I don't want to discount the amazing folks at Apple, but we are seeing in the current age of Apple, I think, how much of it had to do with Steve Jobs. Because you know, it sounds ludicrous to say, you know, what's next for Apple? Or are they going to be able to continue to be remarkable when they're creating new products that the world is talking about and they're going to wait in line forever to get?
Right.
But Apple is now innovating off of their existing products. They're not creating, except for the watch, and we're going to see how the watch does, but they're not changing the game in a new space. And so I think you got to look at it and say, Steve Jobs probably had an awful lot to do with that.
So, yeah, I know. I think you're right. I think based on their most recent announcement, where they basically just, you know, polished some things up and moved some things around, and as you say, with the exception of the watch, basically the most recent announcement, taking the watch out of it, the most recent announcement demonstrates that Jobs was the driving, not just innovative force, but visionary force.
Yeah, completely. And that's not to discount the new phone. I mean, it's great. It's a nicer screen and a faster processor
and a
newer camera.
But you know what? I traded my iPhone 4 back in for a Galaxy S4. I mean, I don't like the Apple phone as much as I do the Galaxy. So it's, you know.
You know, and a lot of the people in the tech space would say that Apple is really now kind of playing catch-up. Now, they may do it in a cleaner way and a better advertising campaign, but they're simply replicating and trying to catch up with what Samsung's doing.
So what about the watch? What do you think about the watch?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that the watch is a mass product. Here's what Steve Jobs did well. He was on the front end of things, but he created something that everybody wanted. And you know, now everybody, just about, I'm going to use generic, everybody has a smartphone. I'm not convinced that everybody is going to want a watch.
Can I get that with a diamond bezel?
Does. Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's not that it's not an interesting or a cool product, but I don't know that this is going to be the kind of game-changing product that, say, the iPad or the iPod or the iPhone has been.
Well, it'll be interesting how the demographics work on the phone, Kevin, because young people don't wear watches anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
So now you're trying to get them to wear a watch again? I mean, and now I think what's going to make the watch is going to be the biometrics part of it. I think that's going to be what will, if the watch succeeds, it will be because for the people who want to get into the biometrics. What do you think?
I think you're right, and one of the things that Apple may be ahead of us on that we're not quite getting is a lot of this may have to do with them being able to get more and more user data to change things, because they're going to be able to capture unprecedented amounts of information about the people using their product.
Right. Hey, Kevin, when we come back in the next segment, can you help us understand what each of us can learn from this, from Apple and their the evolution of their company?
Absolutely.
We're going to do that, folks, after these messages. The book, Kevin, the book is called?
Eight Essential Exchanges.
What? Eight Essential Exchanges, What You Have to Do to Give Up to Go Up, available wherever books are sold. Kevin, Paul Scott, and I will be right back 20 after. I'm Chip Lysingame. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.